And now we come to the gospel, which, as it always happens, we're going back now and pick up the teaching on marriage in Genesis, and which forms background for this text in Mark chapter 10, verses 2 to 16. It's about marriage and children. Both Matthew, in a more ample way than Mark, have a section on community life. If your brother offends you, how do you fix that up? You see? And then about money, then about marriage, then about children, that whole section of Matthew. Mark has a shorter version of that. He talks about the rich man blessing the children after the marriage, blessing children, then rich man. And that's as far as what Mark has. Matthew has a much more expanded collection of Jesus' teaching on life in community. Because if you're a Christian, you're in community. You got to be in some kind of community. Okay. So, now, so there, this text, the chapter 10, he set out from there, that is, he was in Capernaum in that area, and then he went into the district of Judea, he went south, across the Jordan, though, went back across Perea on the other side, and again, crowds gathered around him. And as was his custom, he again taught them. Now the Pharisees approached him and asked, "Is it lawful for a husband to divorce his wife?" Now they're testing him. They always do. They want to catch him, see? And so, is it lawful for a man to dismiss his wife? Pirazontes afton, putting him to the test, trying to trip him up. Why? Because there's schools of thought. There's Hillel and Shammai and all sorts of things, you know. They wanted to trip him up. So, of course, Jesus, knowing what they're doing, what does he do? He says, well, what did Moses command you? Why ask me? Don't you have a law from Moses? So they say, they replied, Moses permitted him to write a bill of divorce and dismiss her. The text that they're alluding to is Deuteronomy 24:1, and it's not Moses says, I hereby permit you to divorce your wives. It says, if you're going to divorce your wives, this is how you do it. It's not saying it's a good idea. He's just saying, you see, this is the process. Give her a bill of divorce. Why? Because then, my husband divorced me, I'm free to marry. She can marry somebody else. Is that wrong? Yeah. That's what our Lord said. He gave you that because of your hardness of heart. Put that in our culture today. How many people stay married? First place, there's no concept of loyalty. When you marry somebody and you know you're going to stay married, something happens inside of you. You have another basis for trusting God. Because this one will never leave me. If it ever happens, this is why, just be a priest for a few months. The brokenness. Because this bond was never meant to be broken. This is the way to being human. Humanity. And for those of us called not to be married, the Lord has to give us other ways of becoming human. Serving, preaching, caring. We've got to grow up. And it's a privileged way because it's just like Jesus. And we have a kind of a bond with Jesus, which is an anticipation of heaven. So anyway, our text here says, they replied, Moses permitted him to write a bill of divorce and dismiss her. But Jesus told them, because of the hardness of your hearts, he wrote you that commandment. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. And then this text the ones we've just been looking at. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined, cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. See, basar means connection. All the world is one basar in one way, you see? We're all the same flesh. And then there's a remarkable text. I wonder if I dare take a moment. I'm going to try. Because it's in Leviticus 18, the laws against incest. And why are there laws against incest? Because those people of your family, they are your flesh. And so you don't marry them. You don't have intercourse with them. They're your flesh because they're your family. And so the Lord said to Moses, Now this is I don't have time to go to the Hebrew right now. This is a pretty good translation. None of you shall approach a close relative to have sexual intercourse with her. Ani Adonai, I'm the Lord. What's the basis for this command? I am, God says. You shall not disgrace your father by having intercourse with your mother. Besides, she is your own mother. You shall not have intercourse with her. I've got to take you, I'm sorry. You see, because I sympathize with the translators, because if you can't translate it literally just because of the English language, I'm going the wrong way in the Bible. That happens, you know. I better hurry, but I want you to feel this. You see, that's why I'm doing this. So, chapter 18 are all the laws against incest. And so it begins. And Adonai said to Moshe, speak to the sons of Israel and say to them, I am the Lord your God. So this is tough stuff, you see. The one who made heaven, you know, and drew you out from the land of Egypt, and so forth. And so I want to skip so we can get to them. Ish el kol sha'er ba'ashu lo hikrabu legalot ed erat. A man shall not approach another man, and then ervat avika, and so forth. You see, the shame of your father, literally, you see, is your mother. And you shall not expose the nakedness of your mother, because she is the flesh of your father. So you see, when Paul is telling us that we make basar echad with Jesus, the whole church, we're one flesh, we're his wife, we're his spouse, we're one flesh with Jesus, that's what the Eucharist is. And a marriage, you are basar echad, you are one flesh. And if you do commit, you see, this relationship, you are offending against the deepest structure of humanity. And so all of this, you see, is supposed to be, for those who are married, it's a stability, it's an unfolding, it's an opening up of humanity to be one flesh with somebody. Yes, one expression is intercourse, but it's more than that. It's emotion, it's feeling, it's mind, it's thought, it's affection. You're cold, you're there, basar echad. And so you see, basar echad, that's the marriage, then the relatives, all the way out. So basar goes all the way out to the whole world. The whole world is basar echad in one way, not the same way as the marriage. The marriage is a mystical union in flesh. That was God's genius, to give us that reality. And of course, it wasn't clear to anybody till Jesus married the church. How many wives does he have? One church. That's why he's teaching what he's teaching, you see? So our Lord says, I got to get back to Mark now. See, that was because of the hardness of your heart. And so it wasn't that way from the beginning. And he quotes that text from Genesis. Therefore, what God has joined together, no human being must separate. That's why Pope John Paul II, talking about marriage anywhere, among Hindus, among Buddhists, it's a natural sacrament. It's already a deep joining and a foreshadowing of Christ and the Church. It's a natural sacrament. And this, you know, even though they permitted divorce, there are rabbinic sayings like, whenever a man and wife get divorced, the altar in the temple weeps. It's such a tragedy. And now you see what's happened to us. You wonder why we're superficial, why we'll buy all the propaganda the government gives us, no matter one side or the other, because we don't have a base where I'm sure. When you have that base in the Lord, you see, marriage is supposed to be the place, the sacrament by which you do get deeply joined to the Lord. How many mystics, saints that have been canonized recently are married people? Marriage is the sacramentum, the sign and efficacious force to bring you into mystical union with the Word of God incarnate. Well, there's more distractions in marriage. Of course there are. I mean, you have children, you got to feed, you got to change, rent, get a new car, but it's not supposed to stop you from being in mystical union with Christ. Do we have it easier? Some ways easier, some ways harder. But the Lord takes care of us all. You see? So, he said to them, whoever divorces his wife and marries another, now listen to this, commits adultery against her. That woman he married has rights. And if he leaves her and marries another, he commits adultery against her, his first wife. That's deep. You see? And the same, if she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery. This is new. Adultery can only be committed by men until now. Marrying, you know, having sexual intercourse with somebody else's wife, that's adultery. No more. It's anybody having intercourse with anybody that's not your spouse, man or woman. See what Jesus does to this? The dignity. You see? And when it goes the other way, then if she does that, she commits adultery. Now, we're so used to this that we take it for granted, but this is revolutionary. And then Mark goes on to talk about the blessing of the children, you see, in our gospel. Why? Because children are the gift, the flower of marriage. You just don't get married to be happy with each other, which is part of it, huh? Marriage is to, an intercourse is to have, to radicalize the affection between the man and the wife. But the other reason is to have children. Give other people a chance to live and come to know God and spend eternity with Him. That's what it's for. And so, you breaking up, you know, you've broken a plan of God. Now, when there's no God, who's going to stop us? In this terrible poverty of a godless culture, people don't even know what they're doing, and they're lost. When do you ever meet a really settled, authentic, strong human being? Very rare, because they're either divorced or children of divorced. And that's an aberration. That's not the way God wills it.